Chapter 15. Point of Sale Thinking. Why? Because I'm the mommy and I said so. Anonymous mommy. Do it now and let's get on with whatever is next. Point of sale is a phrase taken from the cash register industry. It describes action where the purchase takes place. Consider the latest generation of cash register, which instantly updates inventory and orders new product. Before the customer walks away from the till, a replacement for the purchased item has been ordered and all internal accounting is completed. The concept is a key component of the work the system method as described in our operating principles document, principle number 14. Do it now. All actions build on point of sale theory. We don't delay an action if it can be done immediately. Just like any major retail outlet, we update databases and inventories at the exact time the transaction takes place. There is no paperwork floating around the office after a physical transaction. We ask, how can we perform the task now without creating lingering details that we must clean up later? The concept of point of sale, with its various subtleties, has a single purpose of gobbling up details and tasks as they arise. Accomplishing this is the antithesis of fire killing. Point of sale means being in the offense, eyes open, ready to handle whatever comes up, instead of defensively looking backward, burning up precious time sorting through piles of old details. For both your business and your personal life, the point of sale posture allows you to focus on the path ahead, while your other system strategies take care of the details that come behind. Wear the point of sale banner on your sleeve, and you will experience robust confidence, the opposite of overwhelm. The excuses, I don't have enough time, and I've been too busy, will disappear from your life. In a nutshell, here are two point-of-sale strategies that will make your life simple and clean. The first is to reject procrastination. Get tasks out of the way now by immediately doing them, delegating them, or discarding them. Make it your quest to knock off tasks as they appear. The second strategy is to eliminate the requirement for personal action by automating and systemizing tasks. By making things happen automatically, the do-it-now goal is achieved without any effort at all. Here's an additional benefit of the point-of-sale stance. You will be in an alert, assertive posture, prepared to handle the inevitable body slams that are part of living a life. Your conga line dance leadership. Embracing the point of sale stance makes you the first person in the metaphorical conga line, the one determining the line's trajectory and speed. The dozens of followers just shadow your movements. The conga line goes where you want it to go, despite the disparity in shape, size, and finesse of the dancers who follow. You are at the front, the leader, forging the path ahead, while the gyrations that emerge behind sort themselves out on their own. The system's principles for the members of the conga line are simply to keep their hands on the hips of the preceding dancer and to keep in step and to follow your lead. It's just the way we do things around here. When the shall I do it now or later question comes up for a new Centratel staff member, their not yet disciplined internal dialogue goes something like this. What's the difference if I do this task now or later? I just don't feel like doing it right now. I'll do it later because my guess is I will feel more like doing it then. A variation is, I function better under pressure. I need an imminent deadline to force me to take action. So I'll do this task next week when that deadline arrives. Or maybe the task will miraculously disappear by then. Sound familiar? During job orientation, we ask the new staff member to change that internal self-talk to, I'll do it now because that is how things are done at Centratel. Our experienced managers embrace the do-it-now credo because it is so potently effective, not just because it's our policy, but because it just works. No need for self-explanation, no time for inane back-and-forth internal dialogue. The posture is, do it now, and let's get on with things. Yes, this because-I-said-so dictate may grate a bit, especially in the milieu of independence and freedom we Westerners take for granted. We don't like arbitrary rules imposed by others. But in a business setting, an employee has the freedom to quit if the rules don't seem reasonable. In the free world, Anyone can leave a job to go to work for someone else, start a new business, or sit on the couch and do nothing. But for the new Centratel employee, once he or she tests a concept and its workability is proven, it's a no-brainer. It's logic. Consistently superior end results are justification for casting concrete methodology. Of course, the point-of-sale concept also spills over into personal life decisions. Here's an oversimplification, but it captures the point. I'm shopping for clothes. While I'm out, should I make one more stop to buy groceries for tomorrow? The answer, of course, is yes. Multitasking is for machines. The point-of-sale strategy is a critical element in creating super-efficient primary systems. However, it is important to remember that in a point-of-sale cash register, the all-at-the-same-time tasks are automated. Multitasking, or many systems functioning at one time, is a perfect application for a computer, not a human being. Let your Mac or PC do the multitasking. In fact, a tenet of Centratel's philosophy is that our staff members do not multitask. Rather, they give full attention to the detail at hand, principle number 27. This means proceeding in a linear format. The work week is 40 hours long. The Work the System methodology produces many system strategies that save time, and there is no question that point-of-sale thinking has much to do with keeping our salaried management staff's work week to a reasonable length. My partner and I say to our employees, here's the deal. If you give us 100%, we will compensate you well. Yes, it's a generalized promise, but nonetheless, it is our personal guarantee to staff that when they work hard and produce, we will provide them a healthy wage, great benefits, and a work week of reasonable length. Because of our procedure-driven point-of-sale methodology, our people do not see the 50 to 60-hour or more work weeks that are common in small to medium-sized service businesses like ours. Why do my partner and I require that well-paid salaried employees work no more than 40 hours a week? First, we want them to have a life outside the business. And second, when they have time to unwind, they are fresh and spunky when they return to work, able to give the required 100% that is part of the deal. Communications and point of sale. Point of sale methodology is at the heart of our personal communication strategy, too. Fine ideas can flow quickly through the thought process without being captured. One might be driving, talking to a colleague, lying in bed, riding a bicycle, or traveling cross-country when a great idea arrives out of nowhere, only to depart in the next instant. That's why I carry a digital voice recorder with me everywhere. Fleeting though they may be, creative ideas are too valuable to lose. Be cold-blooded. What really matters? In your business or job, or in your personal life, how much of what you do really matters? This is not a loaded question. It is one of enormous pragmatic consideration. Be cold-blooded in examining your situation and eliminating the thoughts, data, and preoccupations that don't have value. Also, look hard at the information that is of some value. See if it serves enough value to make its existence worthwhile. If any information you receive is not used or is of marginal use, categorize it for what it is, a waste of time, energy, and/or money, and then dismiss it from your life. What will you do with the time, energy, and money you save? You'll expend those precious resources on things that do matter. Strengthening the habit. Procrastination, here it is again, appears in the low times, the times when personal willpower is weak because of stress, fatigue, problems, and distractions. Failing to carry through with the point-of-sale philosophy is often the first casualty. You think, okay, I understand that in the long run, point of sale is a good concept, but this afternoon I'm tired, and there is always tomorrow. You are probably right. More often than not, a task can happen tomorrow. The danger is that when one compromises a habit, the habit becomes weaker. But when an excuse not to do something arrives, yet you do it anyway, the do-it-now habit becomes incrementally stronger. In everything you do, think beyond immediate temptation and stick with a plan as outlined in your critical documents. Your documentation will keep you from sinking as it relentlessly moves you toward your goals. Point-of-sale actions are about self-discipline and the willingness to stretch into uncomfortable territory. How else can things change for the better? Slow down. Get organized. Too many people live in the chaos brought about by the failure to slow down enough to set goals and determine sensible strategies to reach those goals. Add to this the failure to make system improvements when inefficiencies crop up, which would prevent those problems from recurring. Yes, the key phrase is slow down, and let me guess, slowing down is what you are struggling with right now as you work your way through this book. If at first slowing down doesn't feel right, that's normal. Be patient as you work your systems, and the end result will be fast, efficient processes down the line. I learned this potent mindset on my high school ski team while training for slalom, a discipline that requires forethought, fast reflexes, strength, and balance. I used to slam through the gates with abandon, powering my way down the course off balance, my arms and legs flailing. I was giving it everything, but my race results were mediocre because of the multiple errors and inefficiencies generated by my brute force, hell-bent approach. I was making too many tiny mistakes that incrementally slowed me down, or I was outright crashing and not even finishing. Then one day my coach told me to relax, to think smooth and slow instead of power, as I skied down through the slalom gates. At first it felt wrong, and it was frustrating because it seemed to me I was not trying hard enough. But I forced myself to hold back, to ski slowly and smoothly. My results dramatically improved. From then on, including 2 years on a college team, I seldom failed to finish a race and consistently ranked well. The slow down and be smooth lesson spilled over into the rest of my life, too. But even after all these years, I occasionally struggle with this positioning because my natural inclination is to thrash things into orderliness. Illustration: Measure your body. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to go into more detail. 10 years ago, in the depths of my workplace chaos, I was also dealing with a very sick body and an exhausted mind. I was delirious during the day and couldn't sleep at night. My doctor had me on antidepressants, then Ritalin, convinced I was depressed, my 100-hour work weeks notwithstanding. But as a result of my mini enlightenment regarding the systems of my business, I grasped that my body was likewise a collection of systems. I asked, what are my body's systems composed of? It was obvious. The human body is composed of chemicals. Armed with this realization, I asked my doctor to give me a wide range of blood tests. Convinced of my depression, at first he balked at the idea, but then he conceded. The blood analysis showed that my adrenal glands had shut down and my master hormone, DHEA, was not in evidence. The stress hormone, cortisol, was in the stratosphere. Another important hormone was deficient, and I was chronically dehydrated. My task was to work on each of the systems individually and one by one bring each back to normalcy. Once I got all four dysfunctional systems back to efficiency, I would have a balanced, holistic body and an alert mind. How could it be otherwise? For the next 2 years, I took blood tests repeatedly while I faithfully took supplements and modified my lifestyle, bringing my various chemical systems back into balance. At the end of that time period, I was physically strong and my thinking was clear. Was it that simple? Yes and no. On the one hand, the road to recovery was obvious. What I had to do was clear. On the other hand, it was sometimes a struggle to be self-disciplined enough to do what needed to be done. I stumbled once in a while, but I succeeded enough to improve things dramatically. Do I still stumble? Yes. How about you? Are you sure the chemicals that compose your body are okay? If they are not, could this be affecting your physical and mental performance? Consider taking your health into your own hands by directing your doctor to perform full-screen blood tests. Then again, your solution may not require a doctor. If your chemicals are okay, maybe you just need to get regular exercise, eat better, and find more sleep. A final thought about measuring your body. If you are addicted to a substance, however benign, an imbalance exists. Any foreign substance throws things off. So a good starting point is to quit those substances and face the world cold turkey. It may not be easy, but if you can pull it off, you'll be in select company. There is no better place than one's body to start getting things straightened out. Using system strategy to analyze the physical body, the vehicle that holds and transports individual consciousness, is perhaps the most outside and slightly elevated position one can take. Hard questions. Are you moving too fast? If so, what steps can you take so your life slows down? Do you think it is hampering your forward motion?